Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanichim Began Eden. Amen.
Daf Ayin. Today's daf is being studied. Le'ainui Nishmat Moshe Ben Miriam. Dedicated by his family. Ruach Adonai Tanichinu Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied. Le'ainui Nishmat Yosef ben Simcha Sheniftar Bekitzur Yamin Veshanim, dedicated by Mr. Jerry Harari and family. Today's daf is being studied La'ilu Nishmat Morenu Verabenu Hacham Baruch Rafael ben Miriam and Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tenichem Began Eden. Amen. We are beginning on the bottom of Samechtet Amud Bet, the last three words on the daf, which is a quote from our Mishnah, Hayodeya Shehu Shabbat. Our Mishnah gave different cases where sometimes you hayav one korban and other times you hayav many korbanot. For example, we gave a case where a person forgets that today is Shabbat, so then he has to bring one korban for his forgetting that today is Shabbat. Whereas if a person remembered it was Shabbat, he just did not remember the melachot of Shabbat, so then he would have to bring one per melacha. So the Gemara says, "Mai shena resha umai shena sefa." What's the difference between the first cases of the Mishnah and the last cases of the Mishnah? What two cases are they comparing? Rashi, top line. Mai shena resha deshigigat Shabbat v'zadon melachot lo mechayev ela achat lechol Shabbat, which is the first case where he was a shogeg on the Shabbat, but he knew melachot, so then we say he's chayav one per, meaning if he remembers during the week again that he gets his dates back again, he remembers the days, and then the next Shabbat he forgets again, so he always brings one. That she continues, v'sefad v'zadon Shabbat v'shigigat melachot, whereas this last case in the Mishnah where he knows it's Shabbat, he just doesn't know melachot, so we mechayev him 39 maximum, one for each melachot. So the Gemara wants to know, what's the rationale? Why one case the result is one korban chatat, and one another case the result is up to 39 korban chatot? What's the mechanics over here, how this thing works? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Safra. Safra says, Kan midi'at Shabbat hu poresh, vekan midi'at melacha hu poresh. So, literally what the Gemara means is here, it's from the knowledge of Shabbat that causes him to refrain, and here it's from the knowledge of melachot that causes him to refrain. What does that mean? We do Rashi, third line. Kan midi'at Shabbat hu poresh, Resha, which is the first case where the guy didn't know it was Shabbat, ki amri le Shabbat, and then they tell him, "Hey, today is Shabbat." Hu poresh min ha-melacha, so then he abstains from doing work. Umakir shahata, and then he realizes that because that day was Shabbat, that he sinned. Ve'al ken u'mevi korban hilkach shigigat Shabbati. So the way the Rashi's understanding is, since once he finds out that it's Shabbat, so it's that case, it's the Shabbat that's causing him to abstain from doing work. Ba'al Shabbat hu sarik lavi, therefore he has to bring a korban for the Shabbat. Next Rashi, kan miyidiat melachot hu poresh, in a case where he knows it's Shabbat, it's just that he's not aware of the melachot, so therefore they're not going to tell him Shabbat. He knows it's Shabbat, he just doesn't know melachot. So ki amri le Shabbat u lo parish, when they tell him it's Shabbat, he's not going to abstain from to continue doing work. Why? De'anam yada, because he knows it's Shabbat. Ki amri le melacha hashuvai zu, but when they tell him, hey, this melacha that you're doing is a substantial melacha, parish, he abstains. Hilkach al minyana melachot yavi. So therefore he brings for the melachot. So the Safra's answer is, the way you judge for what item you bring the korban on is what is causing you to abstain from doing the melacha. If it's the Shabbat, which means if they tell you Shabbat ayom, so I didn't know it was Shabbat. Right, that's going to cause him to abstain. That's where your hatat is. If he knows Shabbat, so Shabbat's not going to cause him to abstain. He knew it was Shabbat, he still was working. So what do they have to tell him to abstain? They have to tell him melachot. So melachot is the item. So comes the Gemara and challenges Rav Safra's formula. Amar Rav Nachman, klum parish mishabbat, ela mishum melachot, veklum parish mishabbat, ela mishum shabbat. Which means, when they tell the guy it's Shabbat, in the case we didn't know it was Shabbat, they tell him, oh, it's Shabbat. So Rav Safra said, oh, so what's causing him to abstain? The fact that he knows it's Shabbat. But the abstention of Shabbat is coming from what? From the melachot that are forbidden. And when they tell him that melachot are forbidden, the melachot are not the only thing that's causing them to abstain, it's the melachot that are done on Shabbat. So therefore it's a combination. You can't say that it's just the Shabbat that's causing him to abstain, or just the melachot. It's really a combination of both. It's once they tell him Shabbat, then the melachot that are forbidden
stops
him from doing that, because now it is Shabbat. So Rashi says, let's read Rashi together inside. Klum parish mishabbat ela mishum dechi utay Shabbat. When they tell him it's Shabbat, who yakir shahata ala melachot, then he realizes what? That he sinned retroactively on doing melachot. Vechlum parish bemelacha, klomar al yedei yediat hamelachot, which is the other way now. When they tell him melachot, ela mishum Shabbat. Why does he stop melachot? Because of Shabbat. Dechi amru lemelachot, ela kishchalel Shabbat. Which is when they tell melachot, he realized that he was mechalel Shabbat. So therefore, Rav Safra's formula that it's the Shabbat that's causing him to refrain, or it's the melachot. Rav Nachman comes along and says, no, he's really refraining when they tell him Shabbat from the melachot that he did it. When they tell him melachot, it's really because of Shabbat. So Rav Nachman gives a new formula why some cases it's one chatat and sometimes it's many. So Gemara says, El Amar Rav Nachman, and this is the way we explained it from the beginning, Korban dechayav rachamana amai. In what scenarios does the Torah demand the korban chatat? Ashgaga, on a inverted on a shogeg. Hatam had ashgaga, hacha tuv ashgagot avyan. In the case where he didn't know it was Shabbat and he knew melachot, where is his shogeg? His shogeg is in Shabbat. So therefore, you only bring the chatat for the shgaga of the issue, and the shgaga in that case is Shabbat. In the case where he knew Shabbat and he didn't know melachot, where's the shkaga? In the melachot. And there's many shkagot there because he didn't know 39 melachot, let's say. So therefore, it's just simple solution according to Rav Nachman. What's the deciding factor, how many korbanot you're going to bring, is you look at the case and you analyze where's the shkaga coming from. If the inadvertency is in Shabbat, so the korban is on Shabbat. If the inadvertency is in melachot, so then you bring many because there's many melachot. Comes the Gemara and continues. Hayab al kol melacha umlacha. Now on that case where a person, let's say, was a shogeg in melachot, he has to bring a korban chatat for each and every melacha. So the Gemara says, Hiluk melachot minalan. How do you know this concept that the melachot are considered separate? Which means, maybe I can argue and say that no, the melachot are really considered one entity. It's all considered melacha. When Torah says, lo ta'aseh melacha, melacha is 39. So therefore, really, maybe you only bring one. Who told you that each melacha is looked at a separate entity, legabeh, korban hatat? So, Amar Shemuel, Amar Kira, Shemuel the Amora, brings a pasuk. Mehaleleha mot yumat. Which literally means those that transgress the Shabbat, or desecrate the Shabbat, mot yumat, they will die. HaTorah ribeta mitot harbe al chilul echad. Which means, we see the Torah says, the person can mehalel one Shabbat, mehaleleha, That's singular. And what does the Torah say? Mot yumat. Mot yumat sounds like many deaths. So Shmuel's chiddush is that you see it's possible to transgress one Shabbat and be subject to mot yumat, many deaths. Now, obviously that cannot be talking about a mezid. Maybe this person was talking about a mezid, an intentional guy. Well, how many times can you kill somebody? You can only kill somebody once. So therefore this pasuk has no application in the mezid level. So the Gemara says, "Hai b'mezid ketiv." What do you mean? But this pasuk over was not talking about a shogeg. This pasuk was talking about an intentional guy. So the Gemara says, "Im enu anyan lemezid." Yeah, don't. There has no application to mezid. Why? Dichtiv, because we have another pasuk that talks about mezid. Kol aosem bo melacha yumat. So the mezid pasuk already is covered. So what is this pasuk mahalla mot yumat must be talking about? Tenau anyan neshogeg. We must give it application to the case of shogeg. What does it say? Umay yumat. And what does it mean when it says mot yumat? Yumat b'mamon, which means we punish the guy a monetary death. What does monetary death mean? Meaning he has to pay a lot of money to buy korbanot chatat. And then with the pasuk is saying mahaleleha. If somebody's mehalel Shabbat b'shogeg, mot yumat, he'll have to die and die again. Meaning, he'll have to pay a lot of money in order to pay for the korban chatat. So therefore you see it's possible that the melachot are separate. Because you'll bring more than one korban chatat, mot yumat. So that teaches us that you can bring up to, let's say, 39 hataot. So that's the punishment of mot yumat. That's Shmuel's proof that the melachot of Shabbat are halukot. Now, Tosfot just has a question. Tosfot says, just the semantics of the Gemara here. The Gemara said, we have a pasuk, mehalel mot yumat. Right? So the Gemara said, well, obviously that can't be talking about a mezid. Why? Because we have a pasuk for mezid already. Tosfot said, why did you have to go that far? It's obviously can't be talking about mezid, because how many times could you kill a guy? Which means the pasuk says, mot yumat. Could you kill a guy twice? Which even if you didn't introduce the second pasuk, the first pasuk cannot be referring to killing somebody, because there's no such concept as mot yumat. So Tosfot says, no. If I didn't have the second pasuk that talks about mezid, I could have learned this pasuk was talking about mezid. And what does mot yumat mean? We have a concept, dibra Torah kilshon bnei adam. That the Torah talks sometimes in the vernacular the way people talk. And that's the way people talk. Instead of saying, I'm going to kill you, they would say, mot yumat, double language. So therefore I would say just a way of speaking. But now that I have a second pasuk that clearly talks about the mezid, so therefore I say that this mot yumat over here must be referring to a shogeg case. And what does mot yumat mean? Mamon, meaning monetary. So that's Shmuel's proof. So the Gemara says, V'tipuk le'chinuk melachot me'eka denafka le'l Rabbi Natan. Which means, Shmuel, what are you manufacturing a derasha for? Why don't you learn it from the same place that one of the Tanaim learned it? And his name is Rabbi Natan. That what? The melachot are indeed separate. Why? What did Rabbi Natan say? The Tanya, because we have a braita. Rabbi Natan Omer, Lo tevaru esh bechol mosvotechem b'yom ha-shabbat. That's a pasuk in Parashat Vayakel that clearly says it is forbidden on Shabbat to ignite a fire in one's domain. So the Gemara says, Mat Talmud Lomar, what is the Hiddush of this pasuk over here? Meaning, the Gemara is saying, why do I need this pasuk? We have another pasuk in the Torah that clearly says, Legabe Shabbat, Lo Ta'aseh Kon Melacha. So we know we're not allowed to do any melacha. Why does the Torah have to go out and single out Lo Tevaru Esh? Isn't Lo Tevaru Esh part of the general the rule of Lo Ta'aseh Kon Melacha? Which is whatever melacha is, that's Lo Tevaru Esh. Meaning, for example, selecting on Shabbat is also forbidden. Borer. Do we have a pasuk that says Lo Tidror B'Yom HaShabbat? No, that's included in Lo Ta'aseh Kol Melacha, which is whatever is included in that, that's a general pasuk. Why does it have to come out specific and say, when it comes to igniting a fire, Lo Tevaru Esh? That's the question of Rabbi Natan. So he says, Nefi Sheneemar V'Yakel Moshe Et Kol Adat B'nei Yisrael. Says, Moshe gathered all the people after the construction of the Mishkan, and he told them, "Ele hadevarim, asher sivah Hashem na'asot otam, sheshet yamim ta'aseh melacha." Now, the Hachamim learned when Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching Bnei Yisrael about the laws of Shabbat. He says, "Ele hadevarim." So the rabbis learned the Gemara here that he was alluding to them of the 39 melachot. How? The word "ele" is the gematria 36. Aleph is 1, Lamed is 30, He is 5. That's 36. Hadevarim. Devarim is plural. The minimal plurality is 2. So that's 36 plus 2 is 38. But it doesn't say "ele devarim." It says "ele hadevarim." That's an inclusive word, and therefore they add another one onto it. So you have 39 melachot. So the Gemara says, "Devarim hadevarim, ele hadevarim." Right? Devarim is 2. Hadevarim would be
3.
"Ele hadevarim," add another 36. "Elu sheloshim v'tesha melachot sheneemru leMoshe b'Sinai." Huh? So that's where you have an allusion in the Torah that there is 39 melachot. So the Gemara says, "Ya'chol asa'an kulam be'ale mahat enu hayav ela ahat." How do you know? Do you think that if you would commit all 39 in one lapse, you can only bring one? Which means, how do you know that they're separate? So the Gemara says, "Tamud lomar beharish ubakatzir tishbot." We have another pasuk regarding Shabbat that clearly delineates two of the melachot, Horesh and Kotzer. Horesh would be plowing, and Kitzira would be reaping. And the Torah clearly says, Beharish ubakatzir tishbot, which means what? Obviously they're individual, they're separate. So the Gemara says, Ba'adayin ani omer, but I can argue, I can say, Al harisha ba'al kitzira chayav shtayim, ba'al kulam inu chayav ila achat. I can argue and tell you, listen, maybe Horesh and Kotzer, those two for some reason are individual. But everything else, the other 37, are considered one. Either Torah delineated Horesh and Kotzer to tell us what? Maybe these two items, you get separate hataot on them. But maybe the other 37 is considered one. So how do you know that they're all considered separate? Sustavud Omar, lo tiba'aru esh. Oh, the fact that the Torah goes out of its way to tell us, lo tiba'aru esh, meaning, haba'ara bichlalaita. Haba'ara was really part of the general principle of lo ta'aseh kol melacha. Ve'lama yatzat. So why did the Torah exclude it, meaning single it out? To compare all the other melachot to it and say, "Ma habara she ab melacha, the hayavim aleha b'fnei atzma," just like habara is an ab melacha, and you hayav if you transgress it. Af kol shu ab melacha, so to every ab melacha, hayavim aleha b'fnei atzma, you're going to be hayav in it separately. So we have to understand this derashah Rabbi Natan. Basically, we got all the pisukim there, but let's go back and analyze it. We have pisukim that tells us 39 melachot. That already is illa devarim. That's clear. So now the question of Rabbi Natan was, how do you know the 39 are separate? So he said, "Oh, beharishu bakatsir." I have a clear pasuk that tells us about two of the melachot, beharishu bakatsir, and therefore you see what? Just like you hayav on Horesh, so too you'll be hayav on Kotzer, and they are separate because Tosfot says al harisha v'ketzira chayav shtayim. Says v'im tomar mina le de chayav shtayim nema de lo mechayev atarbayu el achat. How do you even know that these two are considered separate? Maybe it's considered one. Tosfot says of yestra meshum dechtiv beharish u'maketzir demash matre mile medelo ketiv beharish v'katzir. The fact that it didn't say beharish v'katzir, it said in the pasuk beharish Ubakatsir says Mashba, they are separate. So the Gemara wanted to say, what? Just like these two are separate, so too all the melachot are separate. The Gemara said, no, maybe only Harish and Katsir. Oh, so now you know they're separate then, because we have Lotev Arush. So I'll tell you the same question. Maybe Lotev Arush is an exception. Maybe Horesh, Kotzer, and Havara, those three are the separate ones. Means there's three that are considered individual, and 36 is considered like one. Which is, why did the Gemara reject the derasha beharish u'bakatsir and keep the derasha of Lo tevaru ish. What is the difference? So let's read the Rashi. Look at the Rashi. Dibura matchil. Va'adayin ani omer. Va'adayin ani omer al harish v'katsir hayav shtayim. Right, the Gemara is not going to argue and tell you maybe harish and v'katsir they're separate. You have two. Imasan be'ele machat. Share hotziam min haklal lehalekan leshtayim. Umash ma'azara lekatsir la'atzma ba'azara leharish la'atzma. Like we just said, that maybe choresh and katsir are separate. Va'al kulan achat. But everything else, one. Debehad ha'melacha chaylinu. Because it said, lo ta'ase kol melacha. Ve'had lav. Ubedavar she'ya bechla. Now, we have a rule. We have a rule like this. One of the 13 ways of learning the Torah is kol davar shaya bichlal. The yatsa min haklal lo lelamed al atzmo yatsa ela lelamed al haklal kullo yatsa, which is if you had something that was part of the group. For example, in this case, lo ta'ase melacha, and it left the group. For example, b'harish u'b'katsir, right? It left the group, so it's not coming to teach only on itself. It's coming to be an indication about the whole entire group. So therefore, Rashi's asking a question. Here it said, "Lo ta'aseh melacha, kol melacha." Then it says, "Baharish u'bakatsir." That already left the group to teach on everything. So therefore, why don't you say just like harish u'katsir hayav separately on everything else? Hayav separately. So Rashi, you don't say that rule. Why? Because he gives us a klal. He says you only say that if both your generality and your exception is in Lo ta'aseh. If they're both in the negative. For example, in this case over here, you have the generality in lo ta'aseh kol melacha, and then b'harish u'b'katsir tishbot is a positive. So that's telling you, stop, do not, it doesn't say do not, it says b'harish u'b'katsir tishbot, which is a positive commandment. So therefore, we don't say that rule. It doesn't say lo tachrosh, doesn't say lo tiksor. It says no, but it's written in the positive way. That's a mitzvah ta'aseh. So therefore, we don't say that rule of shaya bichlal v'yatsa min haklal lamed when it's in the aseh and the lo ta'aseh. Now she gives another reason why you can't learn from b'harish u'b'katsir. That she says iname, and I continue reading that. As she havi harish v'katsir shne ketuvim abayim keachad ve'em milamedim. Which means, why did the Torah have to write the harish u'b'katsir? Why did they have to write two cases? If you just wanted to teach me that all the melachot are considered individual, just single out one. From the fact that it's singled out two, the rule is shnei ketuvim en melamedim, which means two pesukim that come out, they don't tell us about everything else. I can tell you that maybe harish and katsir are exceptions. So therefore the Gemara thought to say, what? That from Harish and Katsir, I can learn them, and say just like they're individual, and Hayav on each one, I could say all the other 37 are individual. Gemara says, no, maybe they're separate. So that she's telling you why. That she said, because she can't learn it from the rule of what? Yatzah min haklal lelamed, because this is a lo ta'aseh, this is aseh. Or because of the fact that Torah put two exceptions. So two exceptions don't tell us about everything else. Oh, so now we're back to the question. How do you know that they're separate? So the Gemara quoted the Pasuk, Lo Tevaru Esh. What does Lo Tevaru Esh teach you? Do not ignite a fire on Shabbat. What did you have to tell me Lo Tevaru Esh for? Lo Tevaru Esh was included in Lo Ta'aseh Kol Melacha, and they're both Lo Ta'aseh.
So that's the rule.
So that's the rule now. Kol Chaya Bichlal. The yatsa min haklal, it left the rule. Lo lelamed al atzmo yatsa, it's not coming only to teach on itself. Ela lelamed al haklal kulo yatsa, that it came out to teach us on the whole rule. And it follows the rules, meaning it's only one, lo tevaru esh, and it's the lo ta'aseh on both, like that she said. So therefore, the bottom line rule, if somebody would ask, what's the source, according to Rabbi Natan, that the melachot are separate? So comes the Gemara and says, how come Shmuel didn't just go with this Dirashav Rabbi Natan, who's one of the Tanaim, Why did he manufacture mahalaleah, mot yumat, that you see that there's many deaths, many korbanot, for many hataot, for many transgressions? Learn it from here. So the Gemara says, Shemuel savar la kerebi yoseh. Shemuel holds like the other Tana Rabbi Yose, that has a different understanding of lo tevaru ish. Why? What did the Rabbi Yose say? The amar havara lelav yatzat. Rabbi Yose has a very big chiddush in the melachot. He says, you know why the Torah went out of its way to tell us lo tevaru ish bechol moshmodechem yom shabbat? To tell us that this melacha is different than all the other melachot. In what sense? All the other melachot, if you transgress it b'shogeg, yahayav chatat, and if you do it b'mezid, yahayav karet or sekila. When it comes to lo tevaru esh, there's no hayav chatat, there's no karet, there's no sekila. It's just a lo ta'aseh, which means you'll get lashes like a regular lo ta'aseh. She's 38 of the melachot are subject to korban chatat and karet and sekira. There's one specific melacha havara for whatever reason, but the Torah went out of its way to tell us lo tevaru esh. Why did it have to tell us that? To tell us this is a regular lo ta'aseh. What's the punishment on a lo ta'aseh? You get malkut, you get lashes. So he says, Havara lelav yatzat. Havara, it was excluded to teach you that it's regular, like a lav, meaning the Tanya. Havara lelav yatzat. According to Rabbi Yose, the Bnei Rabbi Yose, Rabbi Natan Amar Omer lehalek yatzat. So it comes out, we have a great mahloket tanaim over here between Rabbi Yose and Rabbi Natan. What lot the baruesh is coming? All agree to the question, would it have to come out specifically and say lo tevaru ish? It was included in lo ta'aseh kol melacha. So the Rabbi Natan, we learned, is telling you, no, b'chidush. It's coming to tell you that each melacha is separate. There's 39 now, separate melachot. How do I know the number 39? Ela devarim. Rabbi Yose says, no. I'll learn that concept from somewhere else. What I learned from lo tevaru ish, that teaches me this is an exceptional melacha, that it's not subject to the punishments of korban chatat. It's not punishment subject to karet, nor sekila. That's the way Rashi understands. Rashi says she'en hayavim aleha karet v'skila kishar melachot. Question? We'll see. Rabbi Yosef has a different place.
Shemuel maybe.
Leave it. Rabbi Yosef has a different place. But the point is, the Gemara said, Shemuel, why didn't you follow Rabbi Natan's source? So Shemuel answers, because he holds like Rabbi Yosef. And therefore that source comes to teach that lo tevaru esh is a lav, not coming to teach lehalek. So therefore Shemuel needed another source to teach lehalek. So comes the Gemara and asks, comes the Gemara and says, v'tipu le lachaluk melachot me'echa denafka de Rabbi Yoseh. Says fine, Rabbi Yoseh must learn chaluk melachot from somewhere else. So from wherever that somewhere else that Rabbi Yoseh learns chaluk melachot from, let Shemuel learn it from there. Which means Rabbi Yoseh didn't learn it from lo tevaru ish, because lo tevaru ish he used for lelav, to teach you that it's a lav. Very good. But we know Rabbi Yoseh agrees to the fact that there's chaluk melachot. So wherever Rabbi Yoseh learned chaluk melachot from, let Shemuel hold like that. And where did we see Rabbi Yosef learn Haluk Melachot from? From the following derasha, the Tanya. We have a braita. Rabbi Yosef Omer. Now get this pasuk over here, Rabotai. This pasuk is in Vayikra Dalet Bet. I'll read you the entire pasuk. The Beil Bnei Yisrael Lemor, Nefesh Ki Techeta Bishkaga Mikol Mitzvot Hashem Asher Lo Te'asena Ve'asa Me'achat mehenna. These are the three words that the Gemara is going to be doresh over here. Ve'asa me'achat mehenna. We're talking about a fellow that transgressed the sin b'shogeg. That's the concept of the pasuk. Nefesh ki tichayta b'shkaga. Mikol mitzvot Hashem asher lo ta'aseh. From any of the mitzvot lo ta'aseh. Now, the Gemara is going to say, the pasuk could have said here, ve'asa ahat, and he did one of them. But the pasuk says ve'asa me'ahat, from one of them. Why did the pasuk have to say me'ahat? It could have just said ahat. Furthermore, the pasuk did not have to tell us the word mehena, from them. So that word is totally extra. So the Gemara is going to say, you have two extra words here. Actually, you have a mem of me'achat is extra. You have the word mehena, from them, is also extra. So the Gemara is going to start learning the Rashi from these extra words. Now the Gemara says, I read inside. Rabbi Yosef says, ve'asa me'achat mehena. Let's read Rashi, gentlemen. First wide line in Rashi, ve'asa me'achat mehena. What does it literally mean, boys? Ve'asa me'achat, he did from one of those. Right, mehena is plural. He did one of the sins from them, from the lota says, Rashi. Ha'amul inyan chatat. Ha'avideh le'michtav ve'asa achat. The pasuk should have said, and he did one of them. V'nishtok. Period. Keep quiet. Aitar le'sha'al. You have extra letters here now. Mem de me'ahat. Right? Because it says me'ahat, so you have an extra mem. V'chol tevat mehenna. The whole word mehenna is extra. Rashi. L'drasha. V'derosh hachi. Now Rashi is going to tell you what the drasha is. Pa'amim shekol ma'aseh averotav. Chashuv achat. Sometimes all his sins, henna, he's going to do a lot, and it's going to be considered achat, one korban. Upa'amim shukarui henna lashon nabim. And sometimes he's going to do, let's say, many, and it'll be hayav one, or one, it'll be hayav many. So the Gemara is going to make the drasha both ways. Let's see the Gemara now. Gemara says, "Pe'amim shehayavim achat al kulan." Sometimes you're going to be hayav one on many transgressions. Upe'amim shehayavim al kol achat ba'achat. And sometimes you're going to be hayav many for the transgressions. Ve'amar Rabbi Yosef bar Hanina. Rabbi Yosef bar Hanina taught, "My ta'amad Rabbi Yosef. What is the logic? Where did he get this from? Sometimes you hayav many." So he says, extra words, achat. Me'achat. The Torah could have wrote achat, and instead it wrote me'achat, from one. Henna, mehenna. The whole word is extra, but now two parts of the word are extra. Which is, you could have just said achat, henna, and it said achat, mehenna. So you got a mem is extra, you got the henna is extra. So he's going to make it that Asha like this. Achat, shehi henna, henna, shehi achat. So the drasha is going to be, sometimes you hayav achat shehena, one, which means you're going to do many, and you're only going to be hayav one, and sometimes you're going to do many, and you're going to hayav a lot. Let's read that in Rashi, please. Read Rashi, achat me'achat. See that Rashi, it's the last Rashi on the page. Achat havele lemichtaf. Right? The pasuk could have just wrote ba'asa achat. He did one transgression. Uchtid me'achat, but it says me'achat. Vechen na mehenna. Havile lemichtav lemidrash pa'amim shu henna. Vekatav mehenna bedrosh achat vehenna belo mem hachi. Pa'amim achat shu henna. Meaning Shabbat achat lebado mehalel. Sometimes he's going to transgress Shabbat. Ve'yesh kan hataot arbe. It'll be one transgression of Shabbat, but it'll be hayav henna de'az di batar melachot. Meaning, you'll go after the melachot. That's the case where, let's say, he didn't know, he knew it was Shabbat, but he didn't know melachot. So that's, he transgressed one, meaning he's mehalel Shabbat, he knew it was Shabbat, but he brings henna, he brings many, because he was a shogeg on the melachot. Upe'amim henna shiachat. Sometimes he could transgress many, but it's only one. For example, he knew melachot, but he didn't know Shabbat, so that was only going to bring one. So that's where Rabbi Yosef basically learns chiluk melachot from the extra derasha, v'asa achat mehenna.
The whole word mehenna or just the mem?
No, just henna. We're going to do the derashah and the mem in a second. Now we're only discussing the word achat, which we need, and we're discussing henna. Sometimes it's one that's many, sometimes it's many that's one. We didn't give you the derashah and the mems yet. Now we're going to give you the derashah on me'achat. What does from one mean? That you did a partial melacha. How can you do a partial melacha? Because it says me'achat, from one. Mashmah, you didn't do the whole melacha. So the Gemara is going to say, let's say a guy had intention on Shabbat to write the name Shimon. Now of course you're not allowed to write the name Shimon on Shabbat. But let's say his Kavanah was to write Shimon, and then after he wrote the letter Shin Mem, he stopped. So he did a partial melacha. But the Gemara is going to tell you, it's chayav. Because bottom line, Shin Mem is also two letters that are a name. Shin, that's a name. So therefore the Torah is coming to tell you, not only in a case where you intended to write, let's say, a longer name, even if you did me'ahat, even if you did from a melacha, you're going to be chayav. Understand how that works? If the Torah just said ahat, it would mean you have to do the full melacha that you intended to be chayav. Comes the Gemara, Torah says no. You don't got to do ahat. Me'ahat. From one melacha. Meaning? Right. So long as you did a partial melacha that could stand alone, from a large melacha that you intended to, you're going to be chayav. What is mehenna going to tell you? So the Gemara is going to make a derasha that henna is those. Those are referring to the avot melachot. Mehenna is going to teach you that you hayav also on the toladot. You hayav on the the toladot, which is the secondary melachot, exactly, that come out of the avot melachot. So it comes out, we have four derashot over here. Let's go slow. You have four derashot over here. You have ahat mehenna. Or ahat henna, henna ahat. That teaches you sometimes you do one and you hayav many, and sometimes you do many but you only hayav one. That's the ahat henna, the henna ahat. And then you got the mems. Me ahat, partial melacha, me henna, toladot. So bottom line, the biyoseh has a source for hiluk melachot. So the Gemara is going to ask Shemuel, true, you didn't go with Totevaru Ish, because you learned like Nabi Yosef that teaches you Totevaru Ish is teaching you it's a lav. But you could learn Hiluk Melachot from Nabi Yosef, learned Hiluk Melachot from the Achatena Derasha. Why did you have to manufacture your own Derasha? Let's read that inside the Gemara now. Three lines on the bottom, I'm going to read again the whole derasha. My tamad Rabbi Yosef, achat me'achat, henna mehenna. Then he makes the derasha. Achat shehi henna, henna shehi achat. Achat shimon, me'achat shem mishimon. Henna avot, mehenna toladot. Now the Gemara explains. Achat shehi henna, sometimes you'll transgress one and you'll be chayav many zadon Shabbat, where you transgress Shabbat on purpose b'shogegat melachot, but you were shogeg on the melachot. That's one transgression, but you chayav many because you chayav for each of the melachot. Henna shiachat, and the opposite case would be shogegat Shabbat, where you transgressed. Should we just shogegat Shabbat v'zadon melachot? You transgress many melachot, but you'll only be chayav one because of the shigiga of Shabbat. So why didn't Shmuel go with this derasha? So the Gemara says, Ushmuel, achat shi henna behenna shi achat no mashmale. He didn't buy into this derasha. He wasn't mashmal in this whole thing. Achat, henna, henna, achat, one, that's many, many, that's one. This derasha didn't sit well with him. So comes the Tosafot and says, wait, let's analyze it. That means you have two sources, Tanayic sources for Hiluk Melachot. Either Lot Tevaru Esh, like Nabi Natan, or this Achat Ena Derasha, like Nabi Yosef. Who's Shmuel going like? She was an Amorah. That means Shmuel is going on his own. He manufactured his own Pasuk, Mahalada Mochumat, and from there he's learning Hiluk Melachot. How could Shmuel do that?
So that's really Tosfot's question. Look at the second Tosfot on the daf. Shmuel de lo kede bi Natan, ud lo kede bi Yose. Right? He's not going on the Amud Bet. Dibur matchil lo mashmale. Shmuel de lo kede bi Natan, ud lo kede bi Yose. We have to say that he must have had a tradition from another Tana that had Mechalela Motyumat as a source. The Rashash over here comes along and says, no, you don't have to say that. It's possible that Shmuel is allowed to have another source so long as he's not arguing on the Tanaim, which means he agrees to the concept of the Peduk Melachot. Which is, Shmuel would not be allowed to argue on the concept of Chiluk Melachot once you see all the Tanaim agree to it. That's for sure. But once you see Tanaim all agree to it, he can bring his own Pasuk, which means there's no problem for Shmuel. It's like it's not arguing on the Tanaim. He agrees to the Tanaim. He just has a different source from the Torah for it. So that's okay. That's where Rashash answers the Tosafot. Now, based on this, there's a couple of halakot that come out of this. Once you're telling me that each melacha is considered individual, if now let's say somebody is mechalel Shabbat, we know you have to warn him in order to give him the death penalty. But you have to tell him what you're doing is forbidden on Shabbat, it's asur, and he has to hear the warning, it's got to be two witnesses, etc. So the hadush over here now, once you tell me that each melacha is separate, you can't just tell him in generality, this is chalul Shabbat. You have to actually tell him what he's doing is wrong, which means it is forbidden, you're being borer, or you're being choresh. You can't just look at specific. If you learned that it's just one melaka, it's under one umbrella, all these things, you can say, Asud al-Sot melaka, Shabbat. But now that you learn that each one is separate, you have to actually give him the name of the melaka that he's doing. It's like a regular lav. If a guy's eating chalev, and you have to give him a warning, you can't just tell him what you're doing is Asud. You have to be specific. You're eating chalev. Chalev is forbidden. Why? Because that's a specific lav. Here it's as if you have 39 lavs in the Torah. Therefore, in that Torah, you have to be specific in it as well. Comes the Gemara and continues. No. Shmuel learns it from... Oh, does he learn this...
Does he learn anything?
Yeah. Well, he does, maybe he learns from the Mims. Me'achat me'ena, that dirasha. But he didn't like the achat hena dirasha. It wasn't much, but this God. Maybe he has something else from the achat hena. Yeah, but the Gemara doesn't tell us what it is.
Yeah, she said, should have said achat l'shtik. So you need, everyone says you need the achat.
Yeah, but in relationship with the henna now, once you have the henna's extra, so that already puts the ahad, it puts the ahad back into play now, which is the henna on its own, you can't make a dirasha. The henna only has relevance now, like the ahad. Ahad to henna, yeah, I mean, I'm following, but I'm telling you that once you tell me the henna's extra, so now already you have to learn the henna in relationship to the words of the pasuk. So now it says ahad, ahad henna, I need to learn these words, so you have to learn it in conjunction with each other. Comes again and asks a question. Ba'amine Rava Merav Nachman. He'alem ze veze biyado mahu. New question. Let's say the guy had a double lapse. He'alem ze veze biyado. What's a double lapse? He was a shogeg on Shabbat, which means he didn't know that today was Shabbat. And for that matter, he also didn't know Melachot. Which means, till now we discussed a case where the guy either knew Shabbat and he didn't know Melachot. Or he knew Melachot and he didn't know Shabbat. But let's say you have over here a double shogeg. Which means, the guy didn't know that today was Shabbat. Nor did he know that the Melachot that he's doing are forbidden. Now how do you judge that case? Is that a Shabbat shogeg one, or is that a melacha shogeg and you do many, which means if you're going to judge it after the shigagot, well now there's a lot of shigagot over there. The guy's shigagot on every melacha. Or do you judge it on the fact that he didn't know Shabbat? And like we saw in our Mishnah, the basic rule in our Mishnah is the more you don't know, the less korban hatat you bring. So the way that the Mefarshim understand this question is, if you're going to go after the less he knows, so therefore he should only bring one. But if you're going to go on
the more shkagot. Well, there's a lot of shkagot over here. He's a shkagot on every melacha. So the Gemara wants to know zeh vazeh, what's the din? So the Gemara says, "Ba mina rabba min rav Nachman, he'alem zeh vazeh biyado mahu." So the Gemara says, "Amar le hare he'alem Shabbat biyado ve'enu hayav ela achat." So the Gemara's first answer says, "You go after Shabbat." Bottom line, he didn't know Shabbat. So therefore, it's considered Shogeg Shabbat. He didn't know today was Shabbat. He didn't know today was Shabbat. As she speaks out clearly, he didn't know today was Shabbat. Because clearly we said in the Mishnah, if a guy knew Shabbat and then forgot it totally, so he's only Hayav one. Here he says a little worse. Here, the guy knows Shabbat, he just forgot that today is Shabbat. So maybe that Shogeg would be one, or maybe you go after the Melachot, but the guy does know Shabbat. Right, the guy does know the concept. In the case of the Mishnah, the guy knew Shabbat and forgot it totally. Here, the guy still knows Shabbat. He just doesn't know today is Shabbat. So maybe that Shogeg doesn't register. Maybe you go after Melachot. Again, I'll repeat. In the Mishnah, I'll get to you in a second. So, in the case of the Mishnah, it was a case where the guy knew Shabbat and forgot it totally. There we say, it's one Shogeg. Here, that she points out, no, it's a guy that knows Shabbat and he still knows Shabbat. It's just that he doesn't know that today is Shabbat. So therefore, maybe you don't go after the Shogeg on that case. Maybe you go after the Shogeg on Melachot. Or maybe you say no, you still go after Baal, he doesn't know today is Shabbat. Therefore, it's considered a Shogeg. That's the way that she sets it up.
When you tell him it's Shabbat, he's going to stop.
Oh, very good. That's the Gemara is going to say right now. The Gemara is going to say that right now. El, that's the Gemara says, Adrabah. The Gemara on the contrary. Hare alim Melachot biyadu v'hayav kol achat v'achat. Gemara says, on the contrary. The bottom line, the guy's a Shogeg over here on a lot of things, including the Melachot. Therefore, he should be Hayav on each Melachah. So the Gemara's in a quandary over here. Gemara says, how do you judge it? You go after the Shogeg of Shabbat or the Shogeg of Melachot. So Gemara started to answer off, you go after the Shogeg of Shabbat. Bottom line, there's no Shabbat. Gemara says, who told you? On the contrary, I can tell you, go after the Shogeg of Melachot. So the Gemara says, Ela Marav Asher. Let me just say, we'll give you the litmus test to judge how you know what this guy is going to do. And it depends. Hazinan, we'll see. E mishum Shabbat kaparish, hare alem Shabbat biyado, ve'enu hayav elahat. Ve'e mishum melacha kaparish, hare alem melachot biyado, ve'hayav akolahat ve'ahat. What's causing the guy to abstain? The way that she understands this is, depending on what they told the guy, which is a subjective case. If they told the guy, hey, Shabbat today. Oh, so it's the Shabbat that caused him to stop? One. If they told him, hey, fella, he's a melachot. Oh, so it's the melachot that caused him to abstain? So therefore he brings for the melachot. Now, that's very difficult to understand, says the Tosafot. Because
Shabbat, how's he going to stop the melachot?
Odd
you don't know the melachot.
Fine, but Baal is going to stop doing something. He's going
to
stop.
You know what to stop.
So the Rishonim ask this question. The Rishonim ask another question as well. Tosfot asks that she's making it like it depends how we got warned or how we got informed. If he got informed, oh, today's Shabbat.
One.
All right, so it's a Shabbat one. If he got informed at melachot, so he got many. So he says, what do you mean? But for the same matter, the guy could have abstained from Melachot. It's just that they stopped him because of Shabbat. Or he could have stopped from Melachot, but they told him Shabbat. So therefore, it doesn't make sense that this is going to be the way you judge it, because technically the guy could have stopped for either or. So therefore, Tosfot rejects the Perush of Rashi. There's other ways to learn over here what this line the Gemara means. One of those is the Ritba. The Ritba says like this. He brings it down from Rabbeinu Yedidya. He says like this. Kegon, kesheasa melacha. He did the melacha, let's say, on Shabbat, obviously. Garubo. They came along and they started screaming at him and they said, Ma ata ose. They just told the guy generic terminology. What are you doing? Ve'im kishepirish. And now when the guy hears, what are you doing? He responds back. What is it, Shabbat today? Oh, so then already you see that the item that does the guy's brain is what? Shabbat. Or if the guy comes along and says, what? Is this melacha asur? So you see, what's the item? The mecha. So it goes after, not what they told him, because they could have told him anything. It goes on the guy's reaction, which he's now already, it's on the guy. I mean, the guy himself is indicating what he's stopping doing the melacha of him. He's like, what is it? You stopping Shabbat today? I mean, Shabbat's your item, right? But Shabbat is the shigaga over here. Or is it the melachot? Different understandings. In any event, that's the way that Asher learns. That Asher learns what's the face of that. She learns it's going on what they told him. If they told him it's Shabbat, then it's Shabbat. One. If they told him it's Melachot, it's many. The better Yedidya says, no, it's his reaction. V'chi Shabbat Hayom, V'chi Melachot Hayom. Let's see the Tosafot for a second. Tosafot Tibur Madil Hazinan. Hazinan imishum Shabbat kaparish. Perush bekontra. She'amru lo Shabbat hayom upirish. Tekashe. Deshema ki avu amri lenami melakahi haya porish. Afilu lo yaskiru Shabbat. That Tosafot is. Just because they told him Shabbat and he abstained, could be if they would have told him melakha, he also would have abstained. So therefore it's not a good test. Elon el ridachi perusho. Imishum Shabbat kaparish. Which means she'omer be'atzmo, which is it goes on with the guy's thinking. Meaning, di'avi mod'ile ashabat levad hayaporesh, di'avi mod'ile amelachot lo yaporesh, which is the guy has to think in his brain. They would have told me Shabbat, that's what it got me to stop. But if they would have told me melachot, I wouldn't have stopped. Which means you have to judge it on not what they told him, but on really what the guy. What the guy's thinking? In Kenya, on Shabbat, Ikar Shoya Shachuah Yoter. Ve'im Mishum Melachot Parish De Shailin Alevavad Yavi Modeire Amelachot Lo Avaslikol De Shabbat. Which is the guy would have said, you know what? If you would have told me about Melachot, then I would have been making Shabbat would have clicked in already, and I would have known what you're talking about. So I would have stopped from the Melachot. Which is depending on what the guy forgets more. If the guy's forgetting the Melachot more, forgetting the Shabbat more. Which is one guy will say, if you told me Shabbat, I still would have been, I wouldn't have stopped. I would have been still confused. You needed to tell me more explicit Melachot. But the other guy would say, no, when you told me Melachot, I would say, oh, Melachot, it must be. So therefore, it really goes on the guy himself. In any event, that's the answer of Rav Asher. Comes the Gemara and says, we go back to the Gemara. Amale Ravina de Rav Asher. Ravina asks a similar question that we learned on Amud Rishon. Klum parish me Shabbat ela mishum melachot. Klum parish me melachot ela mishum Shabbat. Which means he says it's a mixture, it's a combination. You can't say that it's Shabbat that's refraining him alone. It's Shabbat in combination with the fact that Melachot Asurot. And you can't say it's Melachot alone, it's Melachot of Shabbat. So therefore, to say that one thing is causing him to abstain, to make that the item to be Mechayevim, is not fair. It's really a combination. So what does he say? Ela lo shena. He comes along and says, it doesn't matter. Meaning whether they stopped him from Shabbat, whether they stopped him from Melachot, you only bring one. Now we have to understand the logic. So the Gemara says like this. That she says, "Ela lo shena ve'enu hayav ela achat." You only bring one.
Even if you did many?
Correct. Bottom line, it goes on the Shigegat Shabbat. Now comes the Gemara and explains. Tenan, we have a Mishnah. We have a Mishnah. So it comes that we have a Machloket Avinan Rav Asher Rabotai. Whereas Rav Asher makes a difference. Sometimes you'll be hayav one, sometimes you'll be hayav many in this case. Rav Asher says it doesn't make a difference. You'll always be hayav from the Shigegah. That overrides the Shigegah Melachot.
Why? From Shabbat. The reason that they're asur is because Shabbat.
Correct,
Shabbat.
Shogeg Shabbat.
Shogeg Shabbat. The only reason he's doing all these things is because Shogeg Shabbat.
So that's what Rav Asher says. Rav Asher says that the Shogeg Shabbat that wins. That therefore you only bring one. Why? He says the Shigegat Shabbat is the starting point. Whereas Rav Asher makes the Heluk. He goes according to what's refraining him. Comes the Gemara and says, Tanan, Avot Melachot Arvim Chaser Achat. We have a Mishnah that's coming up. It's going to say that there's 39 Melachot. Actually, there's 40 Melachot minus one. Vavinan Basu, the Gemara analyzes. Minyana Lamali, why do you have to give me the number? Which I know how to count, just list Chorez or that. Could say, why does he have to tell me 40 minus 1? Ve'ahama Rabbi Yohanan, she'im asa'an kulam be'halem ahat, to teach me that if you did all of them in one lapse, hayav al kol ahat lehat. To come and teach that you're going to hayav each one individually, which means if a guy, let's say, didn't know the melachot, the most korban hatat he can bring on a given Shabbat would be 39. So it's giving you the number. So comes the Gemara and says, Bishlama he'alim ze veze biyado hayav al kol ahat lehat shapir. Which means, according to the opinion that says, when you don't know anything, which means you didn't know Shabbat, and you didn't know Melachot, still we said that Rav Asher says there are cases that what? You'll bring many Korbanot. So this makes sense over here. Which means we're talking about a guy in the Mishnah, that he had a He'elin, he didn't know Shabbat, he didn't know Melachot, and still what's the Mishnah telling me? He has to bring many. So that works out according to Rav Asher. Ela iyamati adem Shabbat biyado eno hayav elahat. But according to Ravina, that says when you don't know anything, you only bring one. When you're a shogeg on Shabbat, you only bring one. Hechi mashkahatla. How do you have a case? So the Gemara is very easy. Bezadon Shabbat l'shogegat melachot. I'll tell you the case of that Mishnah is where you knew it was Shabbat and you didn't know it was melachot are forbidden. And therefore, what's the case where you know it's Shabbat and then you don't know the melachot? How many do you bring? 39. Which means, why did you have to learn that Mishnah to make a question? You learned that Mishnah, it says, oh, you know why it says 39? To tell you that there are cases where you're going to bring 39 melachot, 39 hataot. In which case? So Gemara says, oh, well, you didn't know anything. You didn't know Shabbat, and you didn't know melachot. And what do you see? You bring 39. Proof to Rav Asher, question against Ravina. Ravina will come along and say, what are you talking about? I can tell you very easy what that Mishnah is talking about. The reason why you bring 39 in that case is because you knew it was Shabbat. You were Zadon and you're Shigeg. It's only emanating from Melachot. The Gemara says, you think that's such an easy answer? The Gemara says, how do you have a case where the guy knows it's Shabbat but has no idea of any of the Melachot? In what does he know Shabbat then? Which is, we learned yesterday's daf, that your only way we say you could know it's Shabbat is through something that is forbidden. But just, okay, that's going to be the Gemara's ultimate answer. But just knowing Shabbat from the fact that you eat different food and wear clothes, that's not considered knowing Shabbat. You must know Shabbat through some melacha. So you have a catch 22. How could you be a Zadon Shabbat without knowing any of the melachot? So the Gemara says, now we go back to yesterday. Haniha isaba lekeneb yohanan de'amar kevan sheshagag bekaret. We can say, according to Yohanan, that he knows the melacha, which means he knows the isur of Shabbat, but he doesn't know that what? Yahayav karet. Remember we learned yesterday, according to Yohanan, one of the ways you could be shogeg, according to Yohanan, is you could know the sin, but you just don't know the punishment. Right? According to Yohanan, if you don't know the karet, punishment, that's still considered a shogeg. So we have a case. I can say the guy knew all the 39 melachot. So when you ask the guy, what's the punishment for the melachot? I don't know. So you didn't know there's a karet. So then that can be still considered a shogeg. He can know Shabbat, he can know the melachot, but he doesn't know the punishment. So we have a case of Zadon Shabbat, shogeg in melachot. However, but if you don't like the other rabbi that says, but if Shimon ben Lakish learned that the only way you're a shogeg is you have to not know anything, you cannot know the Yisud itself. So again, how do you have a case where you're Zadon Shabbat without knowing any of the melachot? So the Gemara says, Shabbat b'may. What did he know Shabbat? Exactly what we said yesterday. We have to say that he knows Shabbat through the law of Tchum Shabbat. According to Rabbi Akiva, that says the law of Tchum Shabbat is Deoraita, and you need to know Shabbat in the Isu Deoraita. That's not one of the 39 Melachot. So the case is he knows Shabbat on the law of Tchum, which means he only knows one law. You can't walk 2,000 amot out of the parameters of the city. According to Rabbi Akiva, Deoraita. Ask him on any of the Melachot, he has no idea. So that's the case, what? Mezid Shabbat, Shogeg Melachot. So let's just review what happened over here. The Gemara came out on the Amud Bet with really one question. He'alem ze veze. Which means you have a He'alem, which means Shogeg Shabbat, Shogeg Melachot. The Gemara comes out, it is a Mahloket, Rav Asher and Ravina. Where Rav Asher is going to make a Hiluk and say, it depends what's causing him to abstain. Right. And we have a Mahloket Rishonim, how to learn what does it mean, what causes them to abstain. But basically, if it's coming from the Shabbat, is abstention of melacha, of work, it's one. If it's coming from the melachot, it's 39. Whereas Rabbi Nah comes along and says, lo shena, it doesn't matter. You always bring one. He goes after the shogeg of Shabbat, which means he goes after shogegat Shabbat. He doesn't make a difference, like our Mishnah said, if a guy knew Shabbat and then forgot it, so that's considered already, you go after the shogeg of the Shabbat, even though he doesn't know melachot as well, this guy, he forgot everything. But you go, like the first case in the Mishnah, you go after the Shabbat. So he said this case also, bottom line, when he forgets today is Shabbat, bottom line, it's the Shabbat that overpowers. It comes like the first case. In any event, the Gemara came along and said, oh, Rabbi Nan of Hashem Machloket, we have a Mishnah later on that clearly is Mashma that Hayav 39. Because the Mishnah said, the reason why the Mishnah delineates 39 melachot, gives you the numbers to tell you that there are certain cases where you're going to bring 39 melachot. And what's the case? Well, you didn't know Ha'alem Shabbat and you didn't know melachot. So that's a proof to Rav Asher. Who said? I can tell you, it's coming like Rav Ravina. The case where you're bringing 39 is Mezid Shabbat Shigat Melachot. Well, that's not so easy. Give me a case of Mezid Shabbat Shigat Melachot. How do you know Shabbat then? What do you know Shabbat? I can say either according to Rabbi Yochanan, he knew, was considered a shogeg, that he knew the Melachot, he just didn't know the Karet. Or I can explain according to the Shlakish, where the Shlakish says to be a shogeg, you have to be ignorant of even everything. So how do you know Shabbat? You knew Shabbat through Techumin. Now just to review again what came out of today's daf on the Amud Rishon, because not too many subjects were discussed. I'm just giving you a quick Hazara. The subject on the Amud Rishon was basically one point. What is the source for Hiluk Melachot? And basically we came out with three opinions. We had the opinion of Shemuel, Mehalaleh Mot Yumat, which is obviously teaching one Hilul, Mot Yumat, many deaths, meaning monetary payments. You had Rabbi Natan, Lo Tevaru Esh Bechol Moshmotechem B'Yom HaShabbat, that's coming to tell you, just like this is an Ad Melachah, the Torah separated it to tell you Hayav, so to all the other 38, are separate and you hayav on each one. And according to Rabbi Yosef, the dirasha of achat hena. Sometimes you do many and you hayav one. Sometimes you do one, meaning you have a zadon shabbat, you be hayav many. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen.